Before we get into a couple of announcements or conversations, let's orient ourselves to our relationship with the Holy Spirit, trusting Him by faith, and that we can have His wisdom. So let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to take time out from those things that occupy our life to assemble ourselves, to orient ourselves in Scripture, for the encouragement of one another as to what our lives are really about in the spiritual realm. It's so easy to get caught, Heavenly Father, in the central perception of the things of the earth that completely bombard us, Father, with its own reality. It's so difficult to look past these things and see what really is important. Pray, Father, that Your Spirit will guide us tonight in conversation and in the Scriptures. We pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, first thing I want to talk with you about is talk with Ian McGrath today several times. And what is going on is this. There is a, outside of Havana, but in Cuba, there is a First Baptist Church that has been allowed to function through the entire last 100 years. They're having a 100-year celebration. Sort of a missions crusade celebration of 100 years. Now, one of the primary people that Mexican, Spanish, even evangelist, missionary team is Alberto Matessa, and I'm not familiar with his ministry. But he and his team apparently are not going to be going, and in a matter of days, Ian has set it up that there's a very strong possibility we'll know. Really, I say we'll know for sure, but whatever for sure means, but we'll know for sure tonight after about 10:30, 11 our time, but I might go down there, and this would be the first week of November. The opportunity speaking, not only at this, but also speaking at the Baptist Seminary. There's a seminary there with native pastors, and by that, Cuban pastors that are there studying, they will provide me with a translator. And then a couple of local churches, not in the same area, but out in other places. One thing that I did like about it is that the way they do these things is you don't talk for an hour or 45 minutes. They want 2, 3, 4 hours at a time. And I went, all right. They can do it, I can do it. Because they travel so far to come to the little churches that they do have, and then they have to go back. So it would be that type of thing. But the opportunity, both not only just dealing with the speaking at the churches, but also the pastors that are there, it seems to be quite something. I have not said yes to Ian. I just said, confirm the speaking. I don't want to go and just stand and watch. So you've got to confirm the speaking. And so that's what they're going to do tonight. And it's one of those kind of things that, you know, God just doing things. Alberto Matessa has, he's known about this, but had in his family and everything, a lot of personal things come up. And because of the whole end-of-the-year thing for him, this is the only week, that would be the only week that he needs to be with his family. So it looks like he's not going to go, but they'll all make decisions this evening, and they have to make them pretty quick because we're talking about the first week of November. And so it would give us an opportunity to teach the spiritual life by faith in the Holy Spirit, Salvation 1 and 2, really. How's that sound to y'all? I like to really, go, you know. I pray if you go, and I'll be here if you're here. I'm going hunting anyway. So, but it just looks like I've never, as you know, done this type of thing. And but it's just something that has come together. When I'm given the opportunity to just lay it out, there's a missionary that Ian and Carol know that has worked in Cuba a lot, and she has spent many years there, and they talked with her, and she was just absolutely excited and said that it's the minute that I let them know I'm going, she's calling churches that she knows, just boom. I mean, she said, if he doesn't want to sleep, I can line him up the whole time he's there. So it's kind of the way she put it to Ian. And I'm thinking seriously, and I'll make up my mind. They're going to call tonight early in the morning, so we'll talk about it again tomorrow night as to doing this. I think it's just another one of those things, people, where, you know, we're just a small squad of believers here, but God has really used this assembly in a lot of different ways. And so this is just another wonderful opportunity that he might be giving to us to get this message out of spirituality by grace through faith. So in prayers and all, I'll let you know tomorrow night, and have a better idea of what's going to be happening, and let you know about that. So just bear that in mind. Any questions, comments about it? I'm sorry? How cold is it get down there? Not real cold, I hope.
No, it's so nice
down there. Oh, can I wear white suits? No, if that were the case, I'd say, can we do this conference in January, February? Yes, I would leave on a Sunday after class here, if this works out, and then come back, you know, a whole week, and then the following Wednesday. So about 10, what would it be, about 10 days, 11 days. And I'll talk to you, if I go, I'll talk to you about that Sunday. There's a couple of things that I'll let you decide what we want to do as an assembly on that Sunday. If when they find all this out tonight and the customer doesn't, then there's a way that I can go down and get it immediately, so I'm told, and be able to get, I'm sorry? Yeah, and I can get it immediately, and it'll go through. So I've had one, but I'm sure his mine's out of date because I hadn't used it in quite a while. But that's just one of those things. If this is what he wants, all of those things, he'll have to do. And he closes the door at any point, that's fine. You know, this is being clear about what they're doing down there and all. I know that in the Macassar team, they really would like to have our children's gospel in Spanish, because Ian has showed them what it was got, and they just, you know, they will ask him occasionally, do you have this in Spanish? And he has to say, they don't have it in English yet, but they're getting it. But they would like to have those kind of things and get the little salvation, the pattern of spirituality, get that in Spanish, get that down there. So there are a lot of opportunities that God may be opening up. And a lot of things are happening in Cuba, as you know, just reading the paper. Anything else on that? Any comments? Anything? Okay. Dallas Morning News Saturday. Quite a nice article with lots of good stuff and some other stuff that isn't, but the Bible's Big Bang and dealing with the publishing of the Bible and dealing with a lot of the types of the editions, translations of the Bible that are out today, going through the translations that various people in the Dallas area, Perkins, SMU, and this type of thing, and not in Dallas area, Dallas Seminary and all, the translations they use, and quite a little article on that. What's the difference in translations? NIV, NASB, King James, revised, on and on and on. You know what the difference is? What becomes the difference in translations of the Bible that are in the stores? I'm sorry? Yeah, it's how people interpreting it, and kind of their philosophy which guides them in their interpreting it. When you pick up a Bible, English Bible, you're looking at what is their objective. And their objective, now they're all going to use, basically, we'll say, the same manuscripts. Okay, so they're using the Greek and Hebrew text. When they translate it, when the scholars that they get together translate it, they're guided by a philosophy. We want smooth English. We want to target teenagers. We want to target, and so they work through all of these kinds of things. And that is the guide of how they're going to translate. In some bookstores, Bible bookstores you can go into, they have a little, I've seen them in several stores, but they have a little display, and it shows under each one, you can lift it up, and it has about 8 or 9 of them on there, and lift it up, and it gives you the level of targeted for reading. It gives you some of the philosophy and different things about each of the editions of the Bible, translations of the Bible that are there, the predominant ones, NIV, NASB, King James, this type of thing. So they have different philosophies, and I enjoyed reading these people that are scholars, teachers, the ones that they like. Several of them said, "Well, if not you reading the original text, then I prefer this English reading." But the New American Standard is the philosophy is as close to the original as possible. And it's in these little things I was telling you about, this little display thing, it has the highest level. It is written for the reading of a 12th grade. I think the NIV was 6th grade. Of course, King James isn't even on the chart because nobody can read it really, and sort of grasp it. But they just have a philosophy in what they're doing. And that philosophy will guide them in how they are going to translate. But what is so important is when you talk with people, and very few people do get, there are a few people that are crusaders about translations, but just remember that you can have the original. You can have the King James, you can have the NIV, the American Standard, Revised, I don't know, there are a whole lot of them now today, and not see the truth. You can have it and see the truth. That isn't going to hang. Seeing the truth of the message, the truth of the gospel, isn't going to hang on that. It's going to hang on whether or not you see it. And you can be reading the Greek and Hebrew and not see it. Or you can be reading the Greek and Hebrew and see it. So that isn't going to be a handicap or an advancement for the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the most important things. I just wanted to be sure that we kind of cover tonight in dealing with translations, that if one has this, it doesn't mean one's better than the other, and all of that, because you may not see it. A person could have any translation and not even be near the truth. Another person could have another translation and see it, or the same translation and see it, but seeing the truth doesn't hang there. And so many people getting so many arguments. There are books written. There's a book written. I had a pastor send to me why the NIV and the New American Standard are evil, and only the King James is God-ordained, just went through a whole bunch of stuff and running it down. And the whole point is, again, it doesn't depend on the translation you carry. It depends on whether the Holy Spirit, you allow the Spirit to open your eyes in this type of sense. So one interesting little section, they have several different articles in it, but I was amused by the article of one. When you pick a version of the Bible, pick two. One to read and one to study. So, and in a way, there's something, I could laugh at that, but in a way, there's something to that. you're going to sit down. If I were going to just study, then the American Standard. But if I'm going to read something that's just going to be smooth, then you want something that's going to read in that manner. So I can understand what they're saying, but it's really interesting. I'm often asked, in fact, the reason this got my interest, I was in the gym Monday and yesterday, and got into a discussion with a group of people. It seemed like about four or five of us on translations, and I don't know if it was because of that. Nobody brought up that article, but the translations that they use and this type of thing, and I used it as an opportunity to say what I'm saying right now to you, is that seeing the truth isn't going to depend on that, and a couple of them really grabbed that. So it's an interesting thing to be aware of. All right, let's get now back to our momentum of our study, and on Tuesday evening we are looking at the heart and core of the Christian life, and that's loving as Christ loves, spiritual love. And Paul says nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. And you have to come to a decision whether or not you believe that or not. I do. This is the perfect bond of unity, as Paul calls it. Perfect bond of unity is not that we agree in doctrine. Perfect bond of unity is that we love as he loved. And therefore it allows people to assemble and to function together and not agree in certain doctrines. But the bond of unity of love, it can be very strong and be there. Now, we have looked at three categories of love. We've looked at divine love, and we've looked at human love. And you recall, under human love, we saw three categories. Phileo, our family, just to give it a family and friends. Romantic, marriage, romantic. And value love. These are going to come up in a lot of studies. I've seen just in things we're doing right now. We'll be coming back and show you the force. If the force of your phileo love, your romantic love, value love, is of greater magnitude, is of such magnitude that it pulls you away, you're not aware of the force of God's love pulling on you. And you've reached a very dangerous point. So we talk about love in the human realm. If we look at love as a force, especially looking at it in the sense of gravity, then what we have here is we have the love of God, and the love of God is pulling. But if we're like this plane that's taking off, and this line here is the pull of love, either love out from us toward phileo, toward family or friends, romantic love, or value love, and our love for these things, or someone's love for us, pulling us, so that the further away we get, this plane gets from Earth, the weaker is the pull of gravity. So the stronger and greater in magnitude, put it that way, the greater in magnitude your love in some other direction can take you to where you're not aware, you don't sense the pull of the love of God in your life. It's there. But your love for something else is of such great magnitude, you're not even aware of it. And oftentimes what God has to do is come along and knock that out. And so that you come right down here and then face to face again with the pull of his love. Now, tonight we continue, having covered divine love and human love briefly, both of those briefly. We now come to the third category of love, and that is spiritual love, our study, spiritual love. And again, we're talking about love. We're talking about love as a force of magnitude, direction, and effect. And all three of these properties are vital in our understanding of love. In all three of these categories, God's love, human love, and spiritual love, as we're studying it. So these three properties are vital in understanding love and just how love functions. Understanding the new commandment and how that functions. Now we're looking at spiritual love. Only the new spiritual creation can have this love. Only the one who is born from above. Just pulling, enriching this from our study on Sunday morning. You must be born from above. Okay, if you're born from above. So, here's planet Earth. And here's Earth. And here's heaven. Now, only those who are born from above. which Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, that to be born from above. Only those who are born from above can have this love. Even though we reside here on earth, the only ones who can have spiritual love flowing through them are those who are born from above. It is for a spiritual creation that has access to this love. It comes, this love that we're talking about, this love comes from heaven. It is not an earthly phenomenon. It is a supernatural deity. It is from heaven. And it is brought down to earth. And it's brought down to earth in the second sending. The first sending was Jesus Christ. The second sending is the Holy Spirit. And this love is brought down to earth by God, the Holy Spirit, in His coming to earth. So we're born from above. You have access to this love that comes down from heaven. Members of the human race, those only born on earth, born one time on planet earth, have human love. But they cannot have this love. They do not have it, cannot have it. They do not have it, and they cannot have it. Just look for a moment. Let's put some difficult passages in perspective. John 14. Look at John 14. Rather interesting conversation going on in John 14. Let me show you this. Verse 20, let's look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, now listen to this question, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And then he talks about speaking them openly and dealing with the Holy Spirit, and deals with the fact, the reason that the world isn't going to happen. And the potential of this love inside of you. Now, here the love being in the category above, that only those who are born from above can have flown through them. It is impossible for the unbeliever to have this love. They may have a very high human love, but what is it? It's Ishmael. It looks